From the Farm Credit Studios, this is On the Farm Radio. Rural and agricultural news coming up next.
If your soil could talk, what would it say? If it's healthy, it may already be saying some good things about your future. Because farmers who use soil health building systems that include no-till, cover crops, and diverse species and rotations report greater productivity, profitability, and resiliency to weather extremes. Learn more about what your soil is saying about its health and your future. Contact your local USDA Natural Resources Conservation Service office today. This message brought to you by USDA and this radio station.
You're listening to On the Farm Radio with Jeff Ishii.
Thanksgiving Day is getting closer and closer, and on that topic...
The place, the cold wasteland of your deep freeze. Sound effects extra. You're doing a dig into the bottommost depths and you discover... A perfectly preserved specimen of Meligrinios gallopavo. Yes, a frozen turkey, apparently undisturbed for years. Has this ever happened to you?
Yes.
Yes, Meredith Carruthers, she's a food safety expert with the Agriculture Department's Meat and Poultry Hotline. Indeed, she says they get a few calls this time of year from people who have unearthed ancient turkeys in their freezers, and they want to know, is this thing safe to eat?
Yes, it's definitely safe because foodborne illness bacteria don't grow in the freezer. The only thing that changes is the quality might diminish the longer that it's frozen for.
And the record length called into the hotline 5 years in the freezer. Did they use that thing?
Yes, they called us back and told us that it was delicious, which is incredible.
Indeed. Gary Crawford for the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
Today's program is made possible by Virginia Department of Conservation and Recreation, which offers farmers and landowners cost-share funding for best management practices that protect water quality and natural resources. The cost-share program is now accepting applications from farmers and landowners in the Commonwealth of Virginia. Information at your local Soil and Water Conservation District office.
You are listening to On the Farm Radio with Jeff Ishii.
This weekend, a special report from field correspondent John Clark.
I'm John Clark, traveling the countryside for FeedWorks USA. Today, we're at the Cornell Nutrition Conference, and who should be here but Ian Sawyer of FeedWorks Australia. Ian, welcome. We're glad to have you here.
G'day, John. It's just great to be here. What a wonderful conference it is.
Hey, you've come a couple times to Cornell. Why do you make the trip? It's a long trip, I presume.
It's too long on that plane sometimes, but Cornell is a really wonderful conference, incredible history, a great diversity of science that's been presented at this meeting this year and over the meetings previously. This year's stuff is just an exciting sort of coming together of fatty acid nutrition, amino acid nutrition, but with that background of forage quality and the sort of things that we all know drive productivity in our ruminant sphere.
You know, Ian, for folks that don't regularly attend conferences like these, share with them not only the knowledge you get, but also really pushing you to think outside of your box when you come here, I presume.
Absolutely. If you start thinking about the Australian dairy sector, it's actually very different to the US dairy sector. We have a grazing-based system dominant rather than the confinement systems and the total mixed rations that we see here in the United States. But the science of cows remains the same. It's the same principles of physiology that we want to focus on. It's the same areas that we'll focus on for productivity gains, profitability gains, happiness in reproduction. We're not going to sit around and say that we have different cows with different needs. We just have a different circumstance. So the science that I can see here and the people that I can meet are just as relevant to me down under as they are to the good folks here in the United States.
That's well said, Ian. Now that you figuratively took us back to your homeland, tell us a little bit more about dairying in Australia.
Australia is an interesting system, and whilst we have what we might call an emerging confinement system, we would still have 95% of our dairy enterprises that would be grazing-based. And we would have a 6,000 litre, so that's about a 15,000 pound herd average. We've got herds that are doing pretty much the same sort of scenarios as we are here in the United States with 12,000 litres. You know, you're sort of getting onto 30,000 pounds. But we've got people that are making 4,000 litres. We have a real diversity of production systems, but again, the science of the cow, even in those 4,000 or 5,000 litre systems, we're still trying to understand what drives cow productivity, with the caveat that in a lot of those circumstances, it's just there's cows are not fed well enough. There's just not enough.
Tell us a little bit about components, because in the U.S. now we've had a little bit of a rough spot here in pricing and fat and protein. But what about components in Australia?
We are paid only on components, fat and protein. There is nobody getting paid volume these days, really, in Australia. The Australian market was used to be about 65-70% export. It's now about 50% export, 50% domestic. Still paid only on fat and component, fat and protein. At the moment, in Australian dollars, which is about 0.65 to the US greenback, we're getting about $9 per kg of milk solids. That's probably about $6 US per kg of milk solids. I can't in my brain actually convert that back to dollars or per hundredweight, but I think John would be able to convert that in due course. But we would consider that actually to be fairly positive pricing, and people are going okay. Our input prices are reasonably high. We've had a dry spell, so fodder availability has been low. We certainly see an increase in land prices, and that is driving up the actual, you know, in the fodder cost, homegrown fodder cost. But, you know, obviously growing fodder at home is still one of the key drivers of productivity.
Ian Sawyer with Feedworks Australia, thank you so much for being with us today. Very interesting.
Thank you, John. It's an absolute pleasure to be with you.
I'm John Clark, traveling the countryside for Feedworks USA.
And thank you, Mr. John Clark, for that fine report. As I have said before, and I'll say it again, John always talks with some very interesting people in very interesting places. And John, we appreciate what you do for the agriculture industry. John Clark with Feedworks USA. Today, we'd like to send out a big old salute to three of our affiliated radio stations. The first being in Charlotte, North Carolina, Joy FM, FM 91.3. The second station being FM 101.9 in Bristol, Tennessee. And the third station being in Denton, Maryland, AM 840, all part of the Joy FM radio network. And they have been with us for a number of years, and we certainly appreciate all the listeners at Joy FM. Speaking of listeners, we have some brand new listeners in Lockport, New York. They're tuned in to affiliated radio station WLVL AM 1340. Welcome aboard all of the listeners in Lockport, New York. Our pearl of wisdom today tells us that it's better to look where you're going than to see where you've been. That's your pearl of wisdom. You're on the farm and I'm Ish.